Well, folks, now we move on to think about outreaching, maturing, and serving. We finished before morning tea with a snapshot of the future that we'll be praying God form us into. This session really is about our character and what we do. And so in each of the three, outreaching, maturing, and serving, you'll see something about our character as well as something about what we do and hope to see come about. But it is all built around the priority of making disciples. It's all driven by making disciples. So we start with outreaching. We are praying our Heavenly Father will form Tom's Anglican Church as come 2022 into people whose passion for lost will see us extending our outreach by establishing five new gospel contact ministries in our community and by sharing the gospel with 2,000 people. The character that we're asking God to form in us is that we would be passionate for the lost. Do you have a passion for the lost to be saved? That's what we will be praying for one another. That at the end of 5 years, we can say that we're passionate for the lost. Just questions, doesn't it? Are we prepared to extend what we do, what you do, to reach the lost? Now, I said before about the numbers. These are numbers that Toby and I were anticipating being lower. But the Bible study leaders said, through the information over there, what came through from the groups, particularly in these first gospel contact ministries, there's about 20 or 30 different ideas about what that might look like. But again, the numbers focus our attention, they pose questions, they challenge our comfort, and hopefully excite us with the possibilities. See, to reach the lost, we need to contact the lost. Each of you have already written down, each of us have written down the name of at least one person we know who come into that first gospel contact box. But there are others, aren't there? Who are they? Where are they? How can we make contact with them in a genuine, loving way? That's why we want to challenge ourselves to establish five new gospel contact ministries. And notice it's gospel contact ministries. The first step in someone becoming a disciple of Christ is hearing the gospel. Now, there's a slide that's about to go up. These are all opportunities, things that we do where people have an opportunity to come into contact with the gospel. That's without putting you. These are all things that we do apart from those personal relationships. The particular ones wanting to take note, scripture, it's just over 350 children in our scripture classes each week. Tom's in the Park, Good News Week, up in the top corner, our Kids Days and Kids Club. Where's Kids Club listed there? I can't see everything. There's a whole lot of things up there. Opportunities where we're trying to make contact and that initial declaring of the gospel. I think one of the challenges as we think about Good News Week is the fun day. How do we up the ante of the day so that it's a genuine first gospel contact day? I think I said this in a sermon that I preached at Morning Church a couple of weeks ago. How do we make sure that the fun day, where we have lots and lots of people come through the park, that all those people encounter the gospel? Not just provide them with a good time. We want to provide them with a good time because we actually, I hope, you enjoy having a good time. Yeah? You enjoy having a good time? I hope that's the case. We want to give them a good time, but giving them a good time doesn't get them out of the fires of hell. We want to engage people, get that first gospel contact, and then keep moving them along. Toby's going to come up. He's going to interview Beck about some of the stuff that MOPS are doing, and then Jin Ming about some ESL stuff and a couple other things going on.
Abek is the leader of MOPS, which is a ministry that we have to mothers of preschoolers. And you're leading that this year, Abek. Yep. And last Wednesday, first MOPS of the year, how did it go?
Yeah, it went well. We yep. had 18 non-team people. We had 18 non-team people come to MOPS on Wednesday.
Great. And one of the things you did was you made some packs for new mums that are going to be given out at the Cranbrook Community Centre, so just up the road, for new mums in the area that have the access and go there and do stuff. I don't even know what they do there.
They have their babies weighed and they go and have developmental checks. So Kate Gillard is handing out these packs on behalf of MOPS at the community centre. They contain an invitation to MOPS and also to Tiny Toms.
And so what's your hope that as a result of these packs going out?
So we hope that we'll make initial contact with these mums, that will bring them into MOPS for their first gospel contact when they hear about how Jesus impacts us as women and mothers. And from there we hope that they will come along to Christianity Explained as well.
Okay, so the packs themselves, this activity that you're doing, where does that fit into our scheme of making disciples?
It's very first gospel contact. It's what we're doing to invite them into our church.
Great. So that's an activity you're doing that's right on that edge, that cusp of us building disciples. But that's not all that MOPS does. What's your hope to continue that? What do you do?
So each month we do a talk that has gospel content. And we're also going to have an evangelistic talk in the middle of the year that will lead into Christianity Explained, which MOPS ran over the past couple of years and will run again this year.
Great. Thanks, Beck. That's one of the things that we do. That's one of the activities of our church that's really concentrated in that first gospel contact and reaching out. It's one of the ministries that we run. I want to invite Jim Ng up. He's going to talk about one of the ministries that we don't yet run, but that we're really excited about. Now, Jim Ng is a member of our Jordan Springs congregation. She lives in Jordan Springs, but grew up in China, which means you speak Mandarin, very skilled, and English. And you've been working really hard to build relationships with different people in the community, especially some of the Chinese background people. Now, I'm not sure how many people realise how much time you've all spent in Jordan Springs, but as a community, Jordan Springs is much more ethnically diverse than many of the other areas in Penrith, many of the other suburbs. There are many residents with Chinese backgrounds. Mm-hmm. There are many residents with kind of Australian Anglo backgrounds. Now, what other ethnic backgrounds have you encountered in meeting people in Jordan Springs?
In Jordan Springs, I met people from Korea, India, Russia, Vietnam, Germany, Sudan, Nepal, and some other countries as well.
Yeah, right. So a whole mix, lots of different countries' ethnicities represented. Now, lots of those people have a kind of, they're multi-generation in Australia, but some of them are very new to Australia, and some of them have very little English skills, very low ability in speaking English. If you had to guess, how many people would you say that there are in Jordan Springs who don't speak English very well?
Well, that's a very hard question.
Yeah.
Most of young generations can speak English, but their parents who live with them in Jordan Springs speak very limited or non-English at all. But even in the young generation, there are still people that perhaps one of a couple that they don't speak English at home.
Yeah.
So I guess probably 100 to make it total.
Yeah. Maybe 100 people in Jordan Springs who don't speak English. And many of them that both of us have met and encountered are looking for ASL classes, and some of them are travelling to ASL classes that are run in Penrith or even in other areas. If we were to start doing ASL classes in Jordan Springs, which we're hoping to do, what opportunities do you think that would give us to point people to Jesus?
I think there are some great opportunities we can point people to Jesus. First, it's a very good impression for them to see how we show our love as how God loved us. And also, it's a great opportunity for them to see it's a church-run free class who don't love free things. Second, it's a wonderful opportunity to them to get contact and connect with Christians. Third, it's a great start for them to join other evangelistic events or celebrations like the Good News Week. Lastly, but not the least, parts of the teaching materials were based on Bible stories. So that's a great way for them to learn and understand who Jesus is.
Thanks, Timing. As Tom's, and we're thinking about starting new gospel contact ministries, the first one that we've been thinking about, and we've seen that there's a real immediate need with lots of people who are ready, and they've been asking, do you do ESL? Can we come to ESL? People who are ready to be involved is this type of ESL class. Now, Anglicare has been a great friend in organising resources to teach ESL, and the way they've set it up is the first half of the class you learn skills about English, about speaking and talking and grammar and all those kind of things. And the second half, you practice by reading the Bible. What a great opportunity to get people keen to read English, no English, straight into the Bible to meet Jesus. That's the way they've set it up. So they've got the resources. We don't have to invent things. What we need to do is basically show up and facilitate this class for people. The problem is that I can't do it. I don't have time to stand in to do that. Most of the people at Jordan Springs congregation don't have free time during the week to put their hand up and run it. But we'd love to run this. And so what I'm asking today is, if you're a person who has spare time during the week, it'd be on a weekday. We haven't locked in a time yet with the community centre. Well, we'd love to run it. If you're a person who has free time and you think this is something you could be involved in, you don't need to have qualifications in teaching. You don't need to have experience in teaching English. We can get you trained in using the material. You just need to be patient and to care about people and be willing to teach. If that's you, I'd love to hear from you. We need to gather a couple people, three or four, who are willing to be part of it and put it on to run it, and then we can get it off the ground. The first one of our five new gospel contact ministries. So please grab me, say, Toby, I'm excited about ESL. How can I help? Afterwards. That'd be great. So we're starting that, and hopefully, I mean, even if there's people ready and willing, we could get it started in term 2. It's really that near. The second thing is, this is the first of our five gospel contact ministries, and we've identified that teaching ESL is a great opportunity. There's people who need that, who will be willing to receive that. But we need to keep thinking about what other options are there? What other opportunities are there to go out and make gospel contacts with people? And so, as part of our ongoing commitment to this, we're going to get some people together across all our Tom's congregations. We're going to get actually a representative from each Bible study together to start thinking about that, about where the opportunities are, about what we could be doing to reach people who don't have contact with us, who don't have contact with the gospel. So that's going to be starting a bit later in the year, and every Bible study will have someone come along to it or the opportunity to come along, and so make sure you know who that person is, and you are giving them your ideas about where's the need, where there's an opportunity. That'll be happening. But that's just the start, isn't it? The first gospel contact. We don't want to just make gospel contacts. We want to move people along, move Susie along, and even get Phil on the board, into sharing the gospel. We want to go from the first relationship to actually communicating the gospel in relationship. We want to be growing them as disciples. Now, this could be you, one-on-one conversation, explaining the gospel to someone. It could be you sitting down to read the Bible one-on-one with someone as you go through and you read Mark's gospel and you meet Jesus and you're helping them understand who he is and what he's done. It could be going through Two Ways to Live with someone. the person, maybe a person you've been praying for. It could be bringing someone along to LifeWorks or to Christianity Explained, where a course where we look at the gospel together and help people work through it and understand it. Or it could be maybe arranging for someone else to meet up with someone. If you really feel like it's not within your ability, then grabbing someone else to say, hey, can you come and sit down with me and my friend and help explain the gospel to them? And we want to see people understand the truth of Jesus. And we want to see people be called to respond to the truth of Jesus. Make a commitment. That's what we're on about in sharing the gospel. And you see our goal? 2,000 gospel shares. That's the number that the Bible study leaders have picked for us to aim for over the next 5 years. It's not 2,000 every year. 2,000 over that time period that we're going to aim for. Now, I did a quick calculation based on the number of people that currently come to Christianity Explained and LifeWorks. That's going to account for about 200 over that time period. That still leaves 1,800 gospel shares that just need to happen between you and your friend, you and your neighbor. 1,800, which, if you break it down, is about 180 adults in our congregations over that 5-6 year period. It's only about 1.5 conversations a year. It's not like we're setting some incredibly unattainable, unrealistic number. If we all have one conversation a year with someone where we explain the gospel, we're going a long way to having 2,000 gospel conversations. Now, one of the questions is, how do we know? If we're aiming for 2,000, that's all well and good, but how do we know how we're going? And so, you're going to start hearing about it. You're going to start getting asked the question in your Bible studies. Have you had any gospel conversations? You would have noticed already that there's a discipleship section at the start of each Bible study that's helping us think more about discipleship, about people getting contact, people having gospel shared, about people growing, about being strengthened and built into our community, and about people being challenged to serve. We're trying to focus us in our Bible study on those things, not just reading and answering some questions about the Bible that goes into our head and fills us with knowledge, but thinking, how does that help us grow as disciples? How does it help us think about growing others as disciples? So that's one of the things that's going to happen in Bible studies, and your Bible study leaders hopefully are going to be very diligent about asking those types of questions, and if they're not, then you can start asking them about it. And your Bible study leaders will also start feeding it back into our new database, start recording the numbers to help us keep track. And it'll be great for us to be able to give you an update every couple of months. Hey, we're up to 31 gospel conversations. Hey, we're up to 64 gospel conversations. Hey, we're up to 260 gospel conversations. I want to be encouraging to be able to be reminded of that throughout the year. Yeah, that's great. And not just that, we don't just want to give you numbers, but we want to give you snapshots of what's happening. Like yesterday, how good was it to hear the testimony of people who have been having conversations about Val and Damo and about Todd and Janine, thinking about their family members. How encouraging was it to hear the actual people talking about it, real conversations they've had? And we want to keep doing that. We want to keep having people give testimonies, not just of how we became Christian, that's helpful, but testimonies of reaching out to others, sharing the gospel. We want to actually have testimonies of things happening all the way along our discipleship path. So you can hear and be encouraged by the way that people are getting integrated into church, the way that people are getting strengthened, the way that people are serving, being encouraged to serve. So look out for that. More testimonies at the front of church in our congregations as we hopefully encourage and spur one another on. But as a way of kind of thinking about this, how we're helping us think about sharing the gospel and where we're at right now. I think there's a space in your booklets. Have a look at it. And space for you to answer the question, who shared the gospel with you? Who shared the gospel with you? It might be 60 people, but just choose maybe a few key people to write down there. And then when you're done, share it with the person next to you and give thanks that those people thought it was important enough to share the gospel with you, thought you were important enough, worthy of hearing the gospel. Take a moment to do that.
The next part of our vision is that we're praying our Heavenly Father will form us into people who understand and are committed to our mission, meet together in 40 weekly small groups, and that everyone will be involved in one-to-one discipling relationships to strengthen and care for one another through the Bible. That first line, people who understand and are committed to our mission, to Christ's mission, remember, united in Christ and His mission, meaning how are we going about fulfilling the Great Commission Jesus gave His disciples, so that we're all on the one page. Second, that we'd be meeting together in those 40 weekly small groups. A key plank of maturing one another is meeting together in weekly Bible study groups, weekly small groups. And as Toby said, we've tried to strengthen that by helping us, including the section about discipleship. So we're studying the Bible, but thinking specifically of how we're going with the whole idea of making disciples. The next says everyone involved in one-to-one discipling relationships. Everyone being discipled. I thought this was going to be a percentage when we got together with the Bible study leaders. And they went, no, we all need to be doing this. We all need to be in these relationships. We all need to be discipling one another. There's no reason why it shouldn't be all of us. I'll come back to that in just a second. And the fourth is the shape of that discipleship. So when we get together, what is it that shapes us? What drives it? It is Bible-shaped. Right? Straight off the back of Matthew 28, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Our weekly small groups, when we meet one-to-one discipling relationships, just like our preaching, it needs to be driven by the Scriptures. Driven by the Scriptures. And I want to pick up on that one word, everyone. It's not just about grown-ups. It's everyone. That 286 that we put up before is adults and children. It's everyone. So the discipleship path, you know, it doesn't just kick off at some mysterious age. Oh, look, you're 15 now. We can have first gospel contact with you and now we can start. No, everyone. Everyone. Right, it starts from birth, and I know there's some prayers that actually start this whole disciple-making process before children are even born, as they're praying for children, or for future grandchildren, or alike. Right, everyone in discipling relationships. So those of you who live in a house somewhere with someone else in your house, what's happening in your home? Take home has started. To help parents at home to be pointing their children to Jesus. That's a start. I'm going to get a couple of people. Larissa's going to come out. Josh and Ben are going to come out and just share. Larissa, when you were young, your parents were Christians. You had parents who were teaching you the Bible, but other people stepped in terms of discipling you.
Yep. When I was about 15, a lady at church asked if I wanted to read the Bible with her weekly, and so we did that for a few years.
What's your practice now in terms of discipleship?
Yeah, so that was really encouraging for me. I grew a lot. She showed me what it was like to be an adult who was a Christian, and we grew together, encouraged each other in kids ministry and all sorts of things. So now I'm doing that with a few people, and one of them is Emily Inglis. She actually got her mum to ask me because she was a bit scared if we could be prayer buddies. And so we met this morning and we're meeting every second Sunday morning to read the Bible and pray And hopefully she'll be spurred on to love God more through that, and she might do that maybe later on down the track with someone else.
Cool. Josh?
Hello. Hey, so Ben.
Yes.
So Ben and I go to Night Church, and a couple of years ago we started hanging every week. What have we been doing and why have we been doing it?
Well, it all started, we were just at Night Church having a chat and discovered that we both like to exercise and do sport and competitive. And I was like, oh, you know, you used to play squash with Mum and Dad. And he goes, oh, I love squash. So we started playing squash. And then a few months into squash, we decided to start reading the Bible after squash and discipling one another after that. And it's been two and a half years since then.
Yeah, so I think, I don't know how we're going with our squash skills, but they've gotten better. But it's not the only thing that's been gotten better, so that's been good. What has been the best thing about doing that?
It's been really great to have somebody else, especially someone who may or may not be, you know, more knowledgeable in the Bible. You may be that person, or the other person may be that person. But it's good to have So we're reading through Psalms, and it's great to read through Psalms and just. We use the, what's that method?
Swedish method.
Swedish method.
Three simple questions.
Yeah. And when you go, oh, what stood out, you know, what was the question and all that. And it's good to read through it because there are times where I'll read it one way and Josh will read it the other and we discuss and go, oh, okay, I didn't perceive it like that. And it's good just get that mix of perceptions and learn and grow together in the Bible in that way.
Yeah, no, it's been great. I've found it really good. The last question, what's been hard about it or challenging?
I haven't found anything particularly challenging, but what I thought of is I think it would be more challenging if we didn't have that fellowship aspect as well. It's really good to disciple people, but it's much easier to disciple people if there's a fellowship part of it as well. So we've got our squash, which, you know, where that's our fellowship, and then we have a discipleship afterwards. You don't have to play squash. You go for a coffee, you have dinner or lunch, whatever you want, but it's much easier to get together in discipleship if it's fellowship as well.
Yeah, great. All right.
Thanks, lads. I just want to encourage you to keep going. What are the opportunities? And I hope, actually, we could have actually got more people and you don't even realise it at this point. If you're in a situation where you can be reading the Bible with people in your household, start there. Husbands, lead. Can I say there are many women here and in our church who long to be able to read the Bible with their husband. Some can't because their husbands as yet are not Christians. Some can't because they're single. And some can't because you are shy or embarrassed or afraid to take the lead. I'm happy to say that harshly because I've been one of those guys. Sam and I have been married for 21 years, and for 18 of those years, there was a woman living in my house who wanted her husband to read the Bible with her. And we did it on and off, mainly off, very rarely on. Now we actually find it hard to actually go to sleep without reading the Bible. So for the last 3 years, before we go to bed, we read the next passage in the scriptures, and come June, we'll have read out loud together the entire Bible. It started off just reading. Now we read and pray. Very simple, just a simple prayer at the end based on what we've read. It did just take me 18 years. We're going to pray that this will be part of who we are in 5 years, so hopefully all the rest of you guys are quicker than I am. But everyone. You know, we start doing this in our homes, or if we already are doing our homes, there's a lot of us already doing it. But how do we stretch ourselves? How do we push ourselves in this way? So I want to challenge us on doing that, on that discipleship thing. We've got two sections under maturing. One's integrating disciples. Really, that's helping people feel like they belong, knowing who we are, welcoming them, making them feel part of things. You'll see a couple of things when we get to the calendar later on. On the first Sunday of every month, it's listed as Integrating Sunday. That looks different at the different services. Night Church have dinner at the first Sunday of the month. Jordan Springs go and have lunch. Morning Church, we're going to have a coffee cart here before church on the first Sunday of the month, doing stuff where we hang out, get together, spend that time together with one another outside of the regular services. In Term 3 as well, we hope to launch a new course. At the moment it's called Next Steps. Josh wants to call it So You Think You Can Toms, or My Toms Rules, or the latest one, Toms at First Sight. You know the sad part? Toms at First Sight actually captures what we want to do. Giving people that sort of first look into who we are, what we do, why we do it. So we want to be looking at that, thinking theologically, practically, and focusing people on, we're on about making disciples. And if you want to be join us, come and do that with us. The Bible study groups, really excited. We currently have we're up to 19 Bible study groups across the parish. Once I sort things out with Todd and Janine, we'll be up to 20 Bible study groups, which is really exciting. I've got a video I want to play. This is from the probably group number 17, or I think that we started.
I'm Digger, one of the leaders of the mob. It's been really awesome over the last year to see the youth grow and develop their relationships, not only with each other, but with God. On average, we have 8 to 10 youth coming along weekly on Wednesdays to dig deeper into God's Word. Youth Bible study was a major key in my maturity in Christ as a teenager. Already starting to see it now in the youth with their knowledge of the Bible and how they're applying it to their lives. We'd like to thank you for the prayer and support through 2016 and continue prayer and support in this year in 2017.
We are the mob!
Come in full force.
Hi. One of the mob up the back gave us a clap. I want to go on to the next bit, which is serving. The last part, we are praying our Heavenly Father will form Tom's Anglican Churches come 2022 into people challenging and equipping one another to be actively engaged in ministry, including sending 5 people to be formally trained for paid ministry. It's highlighted in orange in your booklet, engaged in ministry. We want everyone to be actively engaged in ministry. Remember what I said before? Serving, remember the little diagram, the dot, dot, dot with the straight line with the arrow? Serving is about helping one another engage in this, in outreaching and maturing. That's the heart of ministry, right? Seeing people, sharing the gospel with people and growing them through the gospel and through looking at the Bible. And we want to challenge and equip each other to be involved in that. So it's not just training, it's not just skilling up people, but it's challenging one another. Tim was up here and he was challenging us earlier about Good News Week. Probably been a whole lot of other different challenges over today and yesterday. We want to pick up that make disciples mindset. How do I help others engage in making disciples? When we see serving, when you see the word serving, I want us to be going, asking the question, how am I raising workers to go into the harvest field so that we're outreaching to those that don't know Jesus? How am I raising people who are going to minister to the flock, integrating disciples, strengthening disciples? Right, serving's asking those questions. The only concrete aspect of this part of the vision is sending 5 people to formally be trained for paid ministry. And at the end of the day, I hope you can see that's the obvious outworking of making disciples. If we are people challenging and equipping one another to be actively engaged in ministry, we should be expecting that we're going to be sending people out to go and do this elsewhere. People that we go, you know what, we as a church, we as the people of God ought to be supporting you and setting you aside so you don't have to go and get a normal job, so you can use the gifts and skills that God's given you and that we've maybe helped develop in some way to be just ministering the gospel full time without having to raise money by working a normal job. Friends, serving's about attitude. And there's some awesome serving attitude. I know one person yesterday didn't go to the women's event because they went and babysat someone else's child so they could go and be part of that event. Not just to be part of an event, but so they could continue to build relationships and be strengthened and encouraged. We've had a couple of guys here arriving between 7 and 7.30, both of the last 2 days, to set things up and make things ready for us, because they want to help us be able to learn and have everything running smoothly for us. See, serving's about an attitude that drives me to be at church every week, to be the same congregation every week, because that's when my congregation gets together, and that's when I get the opportunity to challenge and equip others. It may be in what seems like behind-the-scenes tasks. It may be by your presence. But if your attitude is, I need to be at church so I can challenge and equip my brothers and sisters to be actively engaged in ministry, it'll change your conversations. It'll change what you do when you're at church. Serving is about attitude, an attitude that drives me to be at Bible study every week. Because when I get to Bible study, I get a chance, a more personal chance, to challenge and equip brothers and sisters to be actively engaged in ministry. Right? Serving's about attitude, an attitude that shapes the holidays I book, that shapes the time I get in or get home on a Saturday night, that shapes the time I leave work. Serving's about attitude, an attitude that drives me to pray day by day for the unbeliever to hear the gospel, to turn and follow Jesus. Again, it's why we've added the discipleship section into the Bible study book list, to help us deliberately challenge and equip one another. And again, one of the reasons why we've been talking about discipleship and the one-to-one relationships and Bible study groups is it's most effective when it's done personally, to challenge one another and equip one another and engage one another. We can do it from the front, but it's far more effective when we do it personally and in relationship with one another. Our friends, no one wants church to be a business. Church is a family, but it's more than family. It's family with a mission. And that means we have to, at some level, be intentional with one another. Right? We want to equip the saints for works of service. How to do that purposefully, it's something we wrestle with each week in our staff meetings. And we're trying to do stuff to help us, from a formal perspective, be doing that. But in the end, we want to keep challenging one another personally. Many of you have seen the church calendar in this sort of format in past years. We've done it slightly differently this year, even though it might look exactly what you're used to if you're used to seeing it. Now, can I get you to look down the bottom of that page? What have we been talking about today? This discipleship path. So we want to keep thinking, how are we moving people along as disciples of Christ? So what we've tried to do with all the colours on there is to try and help us see that discipleship path. So get your conference booklet out and go to the back page of that, where we've got the discipleship path printed. Keep the calendar out in front of you. Who was the person that you wrote down that you wanted to make that first gospel contact with? Now have a look at your calendar. What is there on that calendar that might be helpful for you in making that first gospel contact? So write their name down and then make a note of what thing on that calendar might be helpful tool for you in making that first gospel contact. The next part, who is it that you're wanting to share the gospel with? Do you have anyone on that column earlier in the day? People off your phone or that you've had conversations with that you need to share the gospel with. In terms of formal things that we do, it's LifeWorks and it's Christianity Explained. Christianity Explained you won't find on there. We run that, or we offer to run that every term. But it's really based on people inviting others to come and do it. We'll run that whenever. If you have someone who wants to do Christian Explained and you need a hand with that, you just let us know. Let Toby and I know, and we'll be there. I'm sure emails can be left behind if it means sitting down and doing Christian Explained with someone. I'm happy to do that. The third thing, integrating. Who is it that you know that is a Christian? They might already be part of Tom's, or they might have just drifted out of church life, but you want to get them back into being part of the body of Christ in this place. Or you want them to bring them in from the edge into being part of it. What are those light orange things, events, could you use to help them? You could make the most of those opportunities. The integrating Sunday, again, is those lunch or dinner or coffee before service, depending on which congregation you're at. The overhauls there in July. Chris and Steph overhaul. Chris was the assistant minister here before Toby. They're about to head overseas with CMS. Well, at the end of this year, they plan to head overseas with CMS as missionaries. And we're going to take them on board as another Link missionary. And so they're going to come those couple of weekends and share with us what they're doing and where they plan to be going and why. So that's what that one is there. The darker orange strengthening events. There's a couple day conferences for men and women. Pretty much all that you see on the calendar are our Sunday services. But what other things fit into there? Bible study. So again, who is it that you've spoken to that you're going, I want to help them mature? Are they in a Bible study? Are they regular at church? Can you encourage them in that regard? And then engaging ministry. Mainly what's written down there is training for Bible study leaders and safe ministry. What would be really helpful for us as we keep planning and developing the calendar and what we're doing, and working out how we can do things formally to be equipping and challenging people, is if you feed back to us, send us messages, hey, it'd be really helpful to have some training in this, or challenge this way, or think about this. That would be really helpful. With the sermon series we've just done, working through the defending the gospel, was on that idea of challenging and equipping us. So some of those things are built in specifically to what we do week by week in the services. Folks, we've run through a lot of stuff today. Does anyone have any questions?
I have two questions. Firstly, one of the questions is, what actually is our vision statement? Which part of this booklet is the vision? It's not the stuff on page 12 that's kind of just the intro to the vision. It's actually the four things that come under the TOMS, the together, the outreaching, maturing, serving. It's our vision for what we want God to do. It's what we're praying for, what we're asking Him to do. That's our vision. So in this booklet, they're spread out, but what we actually have as well as this, to be used in an ongoing way, is a small pamphlet that explains this all without all the space and all the conference stuff in it. That'll be available in the foyer every week.
But the reason why we've put all the extra stuff there is if we just put the TOMS, I think we would very quickly run away from our theological moorings. So what the entirety of it is, ground us in God and Christ and His work. Let's ground who we are in the gospel. And from that, what are we hoping, what are we praying God will do? So it's make sure that we keep our theological footings when we start to think practically about what we'd like to do.
So the second question, how are we in our thinking about disciples? How are we thinking more broadly than just our community? and just our local area. And in one sense, as a church, as Tom's, our community is our first focus and priority of ministry. But we never want to forget that we are part of Jesus' kingdom over the whole earth, and that in part we have responsibility to be reaching and sending people. And so that's part of our plan in sending people to be trained, those five people to be trained at the end. That's not all people that we're just going to train and keep. Some of those may come back, but some of them may be sent further afield to serve at the parish down the road, to serve across the country, to serve at the ends of the earth, who knows where. So that's part of how we're keeping that in mind, but also in the reality that we have our link missionaries that we keep on the agenda, that we keep praying for week by week in our church congregations, and I hope also in your Bible studies, that you keep connected to them, that you are praying for them, and that you are keeping up to date with some of the news of what's happening, as a way that we remember we are partners with them in prayer and spiritually in their ministry, and financially as we support them with money to enable them to do what they do, that we keep them as part of what we do in our focus. We're connected to the work of Christ throughout the world. So that's the main way that happens.
Yep.
But you'll see it from time to time.
We're thinking through, if we take Chris and Stefan, that gives us five missionaries. It becomes very broad. So we're thinking through, working through a plan where each of the missionaries is connected to two congregations rather than specifically. We'll still have the breadth of it, but specifically connected to two congregations so that we can focus more specifically and hopefully be closer aligned with each of them, stretching out our thinking. Growing up, our children go through five different ages and stages of programs. And so we're looking to align each one of those groups with one of the missionaries so that as the children grow up, they see mission work in different parts and different ways of the world. The other thing is we're also thinking, trying to work through how do we get involved with mission work beyond our parish, whether that's going elsewhere and taking a team to do, you know, run like a Good News Week somewhere, or beach mission, or university mission, or something. So we're trying to think, what are the opportunities that we might have as a parish to get involved with mission work beyond our borders? So we're trying to think through that specifically. What would be helpful? Where could we do that?
Thanks for those questions. Maybe there's going to be more questions come up for you as you continue to think through it. Please keep coming and asking them. We want to make sure everyone's clear and understands what's going on. And also, chat through it with your Bible study leader. They have been part of some of the thinking and some of the input that's helped this come together, so they should have more of an understanding. So please hit them up as well.
Cool, thanks, mate. We need to finish in prayer. Let's commit to God the things we've been talking about. I'm going to open the floor for a few people to pray, then I'll close in prayer. And we'll have our final song together. Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise for making yourself known to us. We thank you for the opportunity this weekend to hear of your glory and to be reminded of it. We thank you for saving us who are in Christ and making us part of his mission to the world. Father, we ask that the longings that we've put down on paper, the vision that we've put to paper, that you might bring that about. We'd love to see the numbers become a reality. But we know that you're on about transforming heart and mind. And so, Father, we ask first and foremost that you transform us into a praying people and a people who reflect the characteristics of your word, passionate for the lost, committed to the mission of Christ, of making disciples and challenging and equipping one another to be doing your work in this world as we look forward to the day of Christ's return and joining him in glory forever. And we pray all this in his precious name. Amen.